Welcome, everybody, to the Dad Survival Guide podcast. I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
I'm Raymond Pratt.
Today is a very exciting day for us. We have Steve Monroe. He's a wonderful
Hello. Actor.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you for being here, Mr. Steve.
I just got out of hair and makeup, and I'm in wardrobe, but I can't find the camera.
He looks great.
Where am I supposed to look?
Straight ahead.
Okay. Straight ahead. You're doing all right.
Oh, there. Okay. Hello. Very good.
Steve is a wonderful actor. You remember him from Miss Congeniality, My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Promise of a Young Woman, the upcoming film. I always think of him as the man who sold more Tabasco than anyone else in history. But Steve is also a licensed therapist. So we figured we'd bring Steve on the show to be our adult in the room and give us some insight into kind of the stresses that being quarantined can put on the kids a little bit and frankly, put on the dads. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about has the length of quarantine finally broken you a little bit? How are you coping? What we're doing to keep it together and how are the kids holding up and what can we expect? Going forward, maybe, are there going to be some lasting effects of this or is it just going to be, hey, we had a good time staying home. So, let's get into it, guys. We're at week 417. How's it hanging out in the Pratt house? How are you guys doing over there, Mr. Ray?
Remember a couple weeks ago, we were talking about wacky behavior, raising its head.
Yes.
It has officially shown up at my doorstep. We got nightmares. I got kids crawling in bed with mommy at all hours of the night. The fighting has escalated exponentially, and it's just over. Just complete and utter bullshit. It's like stuff I look at. I'm like, well, you've never fought over this before. And just the questions have resurfaced again. Like, how long is this going to happen? What does this mean for me when I get older? And the wheels have, frankly, have now officially come off for the scheduling. They stay up until midnight, 12:30.
Yeah.
There's just no weight in my words anymore because there's really no structure or framework.
Sure.
So
how's it going up by you, Steve?
My Elena and the girls are doing very well. I am a shell of my former self. I spend more and more time out in my man cave garage having a cigar she's in there, teaching them and entertaining them and she's remarkable, as are our girls, but you tell me no and I don't respond well. Like, you can't go anywhere. Like on a plane, they could say peanuts or pretzels. And that choice alone is empowering. I think, I'm important. I can pick one or the other. Now it's you can't go anywhere. No peanuts, no pretzels, nothing.
You take this whole thing.
You're sitting in your garage in your Hugh Hefner robe and smoking cigars.
That's exactly right. Yes.
It's like a tattered Russian version of the Hugh Hefner robe. It's just, yeah. It's very communist. Very, very Eastern Bloc.
Good.
We're getting in this weird spot now where so many of my daughter's friends, my older daughter's friends, their parents are kind of over it and they're letting everybody hang out. So we're getting a lot of, we're getting that pushback. And my wife is a germaphobe and she's super cautious by nature. So until her boyfriend Gavin comes out and says it's all over, our kids aren't going anywhere. So, so we're kind of in it to win it. But I think what I feel like is most important to get into are some of the behaviors, like Ray was saying, that are a little bit abnormal. What's the reason for it? Do we think it's the kids maybe getting a little more information than is healthy? Do we think it's just kind of natural stuff that maybe we're attributing to this? What do you think, Steve, as a licensed therapist and a professional?
Well, I think a lot of the feelings that have in this situation has inspired are feelings that people are ill-equipped, particularly children, ill-equipped to identify what the feelings are. So rather than talk them through, they act them out and they scream and shout and throw fits so they act out their feelings rather than having the tools to talk, to identify what the feeling is and then then subsequently articulate what the need is. These have inspired a host of unfamiliar, kind of claustrophobic feelings.
So what can we as dads do to kind of draw that out a little bit, maybe give them tools to explain what they're feeling and express themselves better?
Well, I think I work with clients a lot, and in this regard, when it just comes to feelings anyway with kids, and that is, well, we as parents need to cultivate a vocabulary of feeling and understand different nuances of feeling so that then we can help our children identify what the feelings are and then use their words to talk them out rather than throw their toys and hit their sister or, you know. So it's really about being able to connect head to heart and say, okay, this is what I'm feeling. And then when our kids are acting out, you know, you help them identify what the feelings are, say, and you join, validate their feelings and join with them in it. Hmm. You know, you're angry, aren't you? Yeah, I know. This is hard. I'm so angry too, sweetheart. Or, oh, I know you're so tired from doing your school. Listen, I get it. I understand. Join with them in it. When they feel less alone in their pain and their feelings, it helps, you know, it's a somewhat neutralizing effect. When the corollary is altogether just, you know, I'm painting the picture of what not to do for illustration purposes, which is, okay, just stop it. Stop it. I know you're, stop it. Don't yeah. do that. Just makes it worse.
And I feel like sometimes, like when I'm having those conversations with Brady or Noah, because they're a little older, Cameron struggles still with trying to like find the words that, like, I think you said something very important. Like, you try to relate to them, like try to get on their level. Don't talk down to them. Is that, because I do sometimes, you know, because we're struggling with this too. And I still try to, like, I'm still trying to work through my emotions, like what I'm going through, and also to like try to piggyback their emotions on mine. It can sometimes get confusing for me as well. So I try to relate to them on a you know, an even level, and not really try to talk above them, if that makes any sense.
Total sense. 100%. Yeah. We need to be, you know, I teach my clients, primary relationship is first with self and then with others. If I'm not right with me, I can't be right with anybody else. So, you know, and during times of real stress, we default to our worst coping mechanisms. So we better make sure those worst coping mechanisms are still pretty good so that we can then have a positive, you know, effect, you know, an elevating effect on our families. Because, you know, if the heads of the households are falling apart, you can be sure the kids are going to fall apart.
Yeah. And by your best coping mechanism, you're not talking about top shelf liquor. You're talking about. I took me a minute.
I'm not saying don't have a drink. I'm saying wait till the kids are asleep and then booze it up. you need to have some kind of a valve on our internal pressure tanks. And sometimes if it's a drink or a cigar or talking with your wife or talking to your friends on a podcast, then if that lets some pressure out of the pressure tank, then you can, and add some fuel to the fuel tank, then you can show up for your family better. So I'm not saying don't drink.
Yeah. I love that.
Do you think it is possible that we may be even overanalyzing the effects of this pandemic? Like, what's real versus what's unreal?
Like, because I wonder what do you think about that, Steve? Do you think, like, I mean, I know the younger kids, like my youngest Violet is 4. There's no reason for her to know anything more than she does, and for her, it's just everybody's home all the time, so she's got a bunch of older people to do what she wants to do. But what do you think? Where do you think? I mean, is there an age you can think of that's the cutoff? Like, all right, these kids understand, and they might have some fears. And what do you think?
Yeah, I think 7 or 8. You know, but I think you need. I think it's important to kind of the overarching sentiment that need to be conveyed to the kids is one of safety. Not just physical safety, but emotional safety, where they can feel free to share whatever's going on in their hearts and minds. They can come to you or your, you know, our wives or partners or girlfriends or what have you, and just share openly. They need to feel a safety And then that's one of, there's something called the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, that is really articulates the elements necessary for kids to advance through the various psychosocial developmental stages, and not just food and water and shelter and clothes, but safety, physical and emotional safety. So when you're talking to your four-year-old, the message is going to be different than it is to your eight-year-old or 14-year-old. You know, you don't want to insult them, but at the same time, your four-year-old, she doesn't need to know everything that's going on. She just needs to know, okay, mommy and daddy are doing their best, and I'm safe, and I'm gonna go play with my toys. You know,
so stop giving her those real time death updates, there, Flippo.
Good. Give her,
stop the power. I got it. I got you.
85,000 have died today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's more than in Vietnam by a lot.
Do you want to know about Vietnam? Let's talk about Vietnam.
Do you have questions about the Mekong Delta? I think we can explain a lot of things.
Good. Yes.
It's nice, right? Well, the French were there first, sweetheart. And then, okay, well, let me ask you another question. You were talking about vocabulary of feelings. And this is, by the way, this is as deep as I've ever gotten into any of this. So this is exciting for me.
To be honest, I almost laid down on my couch just now.
Yeah. Feeling
very tired.
I feel safe.
You want to put some tufts on your leather couches. I just want to put some tufts on here. What words, what would be some of those words to kind of use a vocabulary of feelings? I'm not sure a lot of the dads out there spend a lot of time thinking about their feelings. What would be some of those words that we would have in our back pocket?
I think, anger, jealousy. My sister gets to do this and that. So it sounds like you're feeling jealous, sweetheart. Yeah. You know, we all feel that sometimes, you know, normalized jealousy. I think one for me is rage. Rage, just unbridled rage. I'm kidding, but serious. I have a lot of times, what I'll do is I'll get my clients what are like a feelings chart. If your kid is like young enough, you know, there's a chart, and you can put it like on your fridge, and it has kids showing various emotions, you know, bashful, shy, scared, elate, you know, joyful, happy. And it has the picture of the kid with the face. And then you help your kid kind of point to what they're feeling based on the pictures. And then you say, oh, you're feeling, you're feeling really scared and jealous. Yeah. You know,
that's it. Okay. So it gives us something in our toolbox. That's nice.
Yeah.
You can get those on Amazon if you look at like feelings charts. And that's something that it will serve people throughout their lives, because there's really a gender kind of disparity when it comes to connection to feelings. Men are often, just generally speaking, less connected head to heart, while women very often are much more equipped in that regard. But if we can't identify what the feeling is, then we don't know what the need is.
Yeah,
and then we just act out. I'm going drinking with the guys. I'll be home in a week.
That I think kind of it takes us to our next topic, which is really dad's emotions. Also, I mean, because a lot of us are going through some really unprecedented stuff. I don't know about you guys, but I think what I think is making me most crazy is the lack of agency right now. I feel like I don't have control over so much of what's going on, and I don't know what to do next. And I feel like that the my natural reaction to that emotion, to that lack of control and that lack of knowledge of the next thing to do, has led me down like this rabbit hole. I mean, on my phone, like it hit me up on Sunday. I was spending like, I don't know, 7 or 8, it's something insane, hours a day on my phone.
I think you said it was 9.
Yeah, it, bananas.
9 hours.
9 hours, I think is what it said. And it was, you know, and it's almost all news. Like I'm consuming a psychotic amount of, I mean, I'm reading every article on earth about everything on earth because I don't know.
Remember,
so,
right.
And when I told you that, Flip, like I had to step, like, I had to force myself to step away because I was like you, just consuming so much information. And it was just, and it just kept like pulling me down into this rabbit hole. And like, and I was cruising along and it wasn't really affecting me because I still go to work. But this last week, it really, really fucking hit me. And it took me down that rabbit hole of like, when is this going to end? Where's, am I upside down? Where's up? Where's down? Like,
sure.
The lack of, like you said, daily control because it's just all running together.
Well, I'm with you. I've been consuming so much news that then yesterday I just turned on like, Hawaii House Hunters. Like, oh, that's nice. Are they going to pick the one by the beach or by the mountain? That was delightful. But you raise a good point, you know, the lack of agency and where there is uncertainty and unpredictability, anxiety spikes. And
so yeah.
And we're relational beings in the good sense that we are not dependent or independent, but we are interdependent and we hunger for outlets and people and, you know, relationships. So social media or, you know, scrolling Facebook feed, you know, it is an altogether understandable desire to try to kind of connect with people virtually in the absence of, you know, human connection during this isolation.
Because I feel like by just my nature, I am an introvert and I kind of like do isolate myself. But this is taking it to the next level. And now I am uncomfortable where I'm like, and my friends know this, I'm now seeking like human contact because it's something that I really don't ever do. And so this is like taking me to a new level of like, what the hell is going on? Like with you.
Yeah. I'm pretty introverted too. I like my space, but you know, music is the space between the notes and we're all kind of stuck at home with our families. And if things are good, you know, then they can take a turn because everybody's in each other's business. Or if there's pre-existing conflict, that can get really amplified and worse. So it's important to have outlets like, you know, to call a friend and, you know, go out a social distance in your driveway, you know, and just kind of.
And then, like just the things that we're doing to try to keep it together. Cause I found that like taking nightly walks with my kids has been kind of a godsend, just getting out of the house, clearing my head and walking, which, you know, I've never done as much as I've done before or as I'm doing right now. That has been amazing. I know, Flippo, do you do all those hikes out in the hills, but.
Told you, I'm halfway to a Subaru Outback, man. I'm on my way.
Well, those are great, great activities, you know, getting outside, going for a hike. These are kind of what we'd call grounding exercises where, you know, you feel the breeze on your face and the sun on your skin and the dirt beneath your feet, you know. They're ways to that when you're connected to those kind of sensual stimuli, if you will, you're less inclined, your focus is pulled away from the gravity of this quarantine and COVID and sheltering in place. It's a way to distract oneself in the good sense.
So what other kinds of grounding could people be doing? Like if you're a dad who's just like, I feel like in the next few weeks, I think we're kind of going to come up against I think Ray, you and I have talked about this a little bit. I feel like the structurally, the PPP loans have kept a lot of people employed that are at the end of June when the second round of the PPP loan money has been spent. Depending on where we are, I think then a lot of people are going to be facing some real grim realities. So what are some other grounding, some other exercises dads can do to kind of, if you find yourself, hey, I'm getting real short with my kids. I'm having a tough time keeping the positivity. Anything you got in your back pocket, Dr. Steve?
Exercise. I like to get out. I go for a run several days a week, you know, mowing the lawn, right. You know, just like you described, Ray, walking around the block, you know, these are all good things, you know, whether you realize it or not. So having, and I'm not advocating, but I'm also not, you know, judging, you know, having a glass of wine at the end of the day, that's a grounding exercise. You're focused on the taste of the wine and it's kind of its effects of sedation. And I mean, there are good and bad grounding exercises, like, you know, crystal meth, probably not a good grounding exercise.
Before this, you know, doing the Zoom calls with your friends or families, those are amazing. Like, it's just to put another faces in the rooms with you, even though it's virtual. Like, we do like a happy hour every once, like, what do we do, it once a week?
Something like that.
That's a great idea. It, you connect with others and understand you're not alone in your struggle.
And it, well, I think one of the things I find most enjoyable about it is seeing that there's a continuity. Like, I'm not continuity. There's a similarity. Like, I'm not the only one of my friends to discover that I have way more gray hair than I thought I did. And, and that I am not qualified to cut my own hair. And then it turns out we've all been drinking and eating more than we ought to. And everybody's put on a few, but I mean, reassuring. Does that make any sense?
Sure. It does.
Okay. We're all in this together and we all look like shit. That's good.
You guys, and also, like, to give you your daughter Sophie credit, you guys have gotten exceptionally creative with your ideas of how to, like, keep things fun and interesting. You guys are doing dress up parties. We were camping in our backyard. You're having house parties with your kids. You're putting up like giant screens and watching movies. The Flippo clan has got it on lock for this.
That's remarkable. That's important. You got to have during where there's, you know, this unpredictability to establish some routine during the days and scheduling in like fun things, like rewards twice a day, three times a day, where you know you're going to be able to kind of just let your guard down and have a laugh, watch some funny cat or dog videos on YouTube or a fun movie, and scheduling in fun things. But having some structure that's not too rigid, but also not too permissive, is really a survival mechanism. So hats off to you, Joe, for all your innovation with the.
Don't give him credit. It's his daughter.
Let me be clear. I don't deserve it. So my oldest daughter is 22. She lives in Vegas with her boyfriend, and they both work at a coffee shop. And we're like, well, it's probably literally the worst place I could imagine you working right now. So they kind of came back here, and she's been like I think the way I put it was somewhere between Mary Poppins and Nanny McPhee. Like, she's been, and she's come up with, I mean, we've had high tea, we've had formal dinners, we've had dance parties every night, because, you know, I have a DJ company, so we have all the speakers and lighting you could imagine. So we've had a dance club every night. We've had Disney days.
That was amazing.
No, Disney Day was stupid. That was unreal.
Wow.
You can go to all the Disney parks, have all their rides. There's a YouTube thing. You can get all their rides in a first person, like, you're riding it. And it's phenomenal, man. You're sitting there at home, you put it on the big screen and just go on the ride. And no waiting and no mask.
How tall do you have to be?
That doesn't matter, Steve. That's the beauty of it.
So
she's come up with a million things for us to do. We had and the best mint juleps I've ever had, as it turns out. But that's
fantastic.
That's been kind of neat. She's been gone for a few days, so she's back hopefully today, and we'll see what she's got
on the payroll. Flippo.
What's that?
She's your cruise director.
Oh, yeah. No question. She is absolutely it. And she's, and she's been, she's really been insane. Like, it's been so good. It's really wild. So I'm tremendously grateful that she's been able to do that. But what are you guys doing, Steve? What's the Monroe household been up to?
Well, we have school. Elena really spearheads that. I get them out on their bikes. Our oldest just, I incentivized her learning her bike. If we'd get her a little room makeover when she learns to ride her bike. And at first, that was as much a learning experience for me as it was for her. Probably harder for me, maybe, because initially getting her out on her bike, I was very micromanaging. And then it hit me. I'm applying too much pressure. I need to back off and just let her discover it and figure it out herself. So I did. And she had some spills, but she got back up like we teach them. She got back on the horse, and she's riding her bike now. So we have them ride their bikes. We have dance parties. But I would be lying if I said, it was anything compared to the Sanfilippo household. It's pales in comparison.
I'm not bragging. I think.
Bragging for you because that's remarkable.
It is, and it's. But again, it's all due to the oldest being back. And when she's gone, it all went away. It's very sad.
The park shut down for maintenance.
That's it. Like
right. Yes.
Cruise director got offloaded at Cozumel, and the cruise just sucked after that. It wasn't worth a shit. So it's kind of the long and the short of it. What would you recommend to dads who are feeling that kind of anxiety? What would you do if you had a dad come to you and say, "Steve, listen, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I don't feel like." I don't want my kids to know how I'm feel. What would your recommendation to a dad be who's really kind of going through at this point? Where we've got people who've been laid off, we've got people who've lost their businesses, people who've lost their incomes. What is your recommendation to them when they're dealing with their kids? What ought their interaction look like?
Well, I think they first need to step away. Go hang out with your buddy down the street and blow off some steam, with a bubbly water or a bottle of wine and just talk, just be stupid and share and talk about how crummy it is. And so you can kind of refuel your fuel tank and let some pressure out of the pressure tank and then come home and then re-engage with the kids. But you gotta have outlets.
Yeah.
Social distance, don't hug and linger your best bud. But maintain the social distancing, but also go talk and just chill out with friends or call them on the phone, let some pressure out of your own tank so that when you're engaging with your kids, the top doesn't blow off.
Yeah. I feel like some dads out because I talked to dads and I feel like they're overcomplicating it. I feel like they think that it needs to be some kind of grand expedition or something like that. But like you just said, talking on the phone with someone, taking a hike, exercising, getting out and getting separation and just walking. And what I do sometimes is I'll walk and I will talk to myself just to be like, I probably look crazy to everybody on the street, but it feels good.
Good.
Like, God, this fucking day is da 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 da. And then I come back and I've released that valve and I feel 1,000 times better. And I'm not really going to choke slam one of my kids.
That's great. Get a punching bag in the garage and go do some kickboxing and just, put a name to that punching bag, COVID or, something that inspires you to just keep punching it out. So then you go in and you're like calm and a placid lake.
I'm glad, honestly, it's kind of reassuring to hear you say that because I was expecting you to be like, well, whatever you do, don't do all the things that we would normally do for coping mechanisms. But it sounds like their coping mechanisms are age old for a reason, which is kind of a relief.
Absolutely. There's again, it's kind of you just want to make sure they're not too destructive. Like I wouldn't go spray paint your crappy neighbor's garage. Don't do that.
They'll know
epithets. Don't do that. Do walk around the block. Talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Hit do some kickboxing, some taekwondo, tangsudo. Our girls do their karate. That's, you know, having a physical outlet to just get some of that energy out has proven very helpful as well.
Oh, yeah.
Our sensei does Zoom karate classes, and our girls have, you know, advanced a belt each. And so that's a great way for them to expend energy and let some pressure out of the pressure tank, you know, and get the cortisol levels down. And so we got to do that too.
I like that.
Yourself up if you're sitting in the garage, you know, eating two bags of Doritos. You know, if that's what you're doing, you know, don't beat yourself up. Just go walk around the block too.
You got to go around twice. And, you know, if you're sitting in your garage right now smoking a Gorka and eating Doritos, that's fine. That's fine.
That's right.
I understand. Let me change the subject a little bit to something that I think is we've been seeing anecdotally, and we've been seeing it on the news. And everybody I know that has been determined to be essential, and then now as things are opening up, people who are dealing with the public again, we have found, at least I've found with everyone I've talked to, that this Karen thing seems to be spreading. And there's an awful lot of people who are just lashing out at people who are working, and Ray's dealt with that quite a bit. I wonder, do you have any advice for people who are yelling in a incredibly stupid, short-sighted way at the people who are handling their food?
Don't do it. Don't yell at anybody. This is a time to really suspend judgment, because everybody's really trying to do the best they can. And you know, and I take issue with this, we're all in it together, because it's truly affecting some people in far worse ways than others. Of course, the people who've been sick with COVID and died from COVID, but alternately, the people who need to put food on the table, you know, the poor and middle class are disproportionately affected by this shutdown. And so if they're making the choice to work and maybe some people aren't wearing masks, well, look, does that upset you? Sure, maybe it does, but it's really important to just extend a wider margin of acceptance and non-judgment and just understanding and compassion right now.
I think that's a great way to put it. Like, it's understanding and compassion, because you have to realize that a lot of these businesses, these corporations, were not built for this model of 100%, you know, taking all of their business and making it 100% to go. So there are so many more steps and so many more opportunities for error when you're dealing in this facet, and to sit there and berate someone and to call them names.
No, yeah.
And to do their best. And like you said, put food on the table for their family, because God knows this is not an ideal situation for any of us. No. But I have noticed in the last 4 weeks, a severe shift in mentality. I've always said that as humans, we adapt quickly. People are like, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? I'm like, we are incredibly malleable. We'll figure it out. We adapted, and now the behavior has changed from like, oh, I can't believe you guys are open, this is beautiful, here's $100, here's this, to now it's shifted to, this is the new norm, so why are you fucking this up? Why is this taking an extra 2 minutes? Why is this? Why is, and it's gotten very aggressive, and it's now starting, I'm starting to see physically it take a toll on people that work for me.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very, it's really demoralizing to see the level of, you know, rage and judgment that when people are doing the best they can.
Yeah.
It is a bummer, right? All of a sudden you snap back to, hey, I want it all now.
Well, again, and these people are acting it out.
Yes.
You know, they're just, their anger's misdirected. Mm-hmm. You know, Judy, who, you know, whose mask slipped a little bit, it's because they just got in an argument with their spouse. So they're letting it out. They're taking it out on Judy, who brought them their fries, but her mask slipped. It's not about that.
That's a good point. had nothing to do with the fries. And it was all about the argument with her husband 2 hours before her. Yeah, that makes sense. Everybody's projecting.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I learned a word. Is that, did I use that right, Steve? Is it projecting?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, projecting doesn't have to just deal with vomit. It could be emotions, too.
Well, that's exactly right.
You're vomiting your emotions on me, man.
Yeah, it's all over my shirt.
Damn it. Well, I appreciate, Steve. We very much appreciate you coming on the show and giving some adult ideas here for the dads. And it, like I said, very reassuring that some of the things we've been doing made sense anyway.
Absolutely.
And I love that it gives us some more stuff to play with, like vocabulary of feelings. That really, you know, I think there's a, you know, that's tremendously useful. And
and I think it says a lot that I put pants on for this show because of you, Steve.
You got dressed up.
Pants on.
I am humbled and honored. I am not wearing pants.
I was going to say.
As soon as I realized there was no camera, I took my pants off.
Should also be noted that Steve is on his front porch and his neighbors have been, they've been socially distancing themselves.
That's right.
An additional few feet. Well, Steve Monroe, all the way from television, we appreciate you coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You can look me up. My therapy is at stephenmonroe.net. My Twitter is stevemo333. And you can find my actor page on Facebook, Actor Steve Monroe. So I just thank you, Ray and Joe, for having me. It's been a real honor to join you on this. And I wish everybody out there the very best. Stay safe, and we'll see you on the other side. So thank you.
And Ray, where can people find you?
At home.
Good. What's your Twitter handle?
God, I don't know. Ray 29, right. I think. Me in technology.
There we go.
Sadly underprepared for that shit.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys. We look forward to seeing you next week. You guys have a beautiful night.
Hey, take care, guys. Thank you.